Seems I've created a monster. Everybody out there is seeing sparks everywhere. Coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker, this is Pastor Mike, and I am online, and I am live coming to you from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52, just in the midst of northern Colorado, where apparently there is going to be a 51st state. According to what I've been reading, the voters in the northern counties of Colorado have decided, you know what? No more pot smokers and gay marriage in our county. And they are dead serious about this, about forming a they're going to secede, I don't think they're going to do it from the whole United States, but they're going to secede from Colorado itself, get away from the liberalism that is in Boulder and Denver and all this other New Age activity and stuff. They're getting away from it and saying, we don't want any part of it. Good for them. Because I'm telling you, it is high time for us to come out. Wherefore, come out from... You know what? I'm going to look that verse up. I think that would be a good way. I've got several verses in mind to start out today. Let's see here. Be ye... While I'm doing this, you know what? Let me switch this over here onto this screen over here. And then I'll show you exactly what I'm doing here. This is the old version of the King James Pure Bible Search software. Separate. I can't find it. Touch not. I'm not typing it in right. There we go. I'll just do like that. This is the old version of the King James Pure Bible Search software. The 2.0 version. Donna is compiling it right now. That's computer jargon, by the way. And she's going to be creating a master CD for Windows, Linux, and Macintosh. Let's see here. Tarball images. That's Linux speak, if you don't know that. Let's see here. She's going to start looking into the Android and iOS ports and so on and so on and so on. Anyway, she hopes to have the installers ready Tuesday night. That would be tonight, midnight, Central Standard Time, for an 11-12-13 release. That's interesting, 11-12-13. Anyway, this is the old software, and it does a pretty good job. You just type in what you want, and it'll find it for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked like as an oxen. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And I'm telling you, the people out there do not believe the word of God. Do not yoke yourself with people who don't believe the Bible is the inspired, pure, inerrant word of God. Be you not unequally yoked to... Can I get an amen over there, Gary? Amen. Gary's working in the room next door. He's putting our ceiling panels in. And he said, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? Unless, of course, you have the yin-yang symbol. What concord hath Christ with Belial? You know what a concord is? Let me highlight that word for ye. A concord is a contract or an agreement. And if you remember, the devil tried to get Jesus into an agreement with him when he was fasting for 40 days in the wilderness. He tempted him and tried to get him into an agreement with him. And Jesus, all he did was quote scripture. What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? You know what that means? Someone who has infidelity. Unfaithful. That means they have the un of faith. The absence of faith. They don't believe the Bible. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God I got to stop right here. I am going to be, we're going to talk all kinds of junk today. By the way, I appreciate you coming in early today. This is the experimental 2-hour live broadcast. And I'm going to try it today to see if I like it. If I go to a 2-hour broadcast, we will start broadcasting at 12 p.m. Central instead of 1 p.m. Central because Sweetie Pie has dinner waiting for me by the time I get home. She's a good Sweetie Pie. But I'm going to stop right here. He said, what agreement at the temple of God with idols? You have to stop and think about what the Bible means when it says the temple of God and idols. The temple of God, watch this now, according to the scripture, according to the, I'll be using the King James Version today. According to the scriptures, the temple of God is this. What? What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? This body right here. Idols, think about the commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Think about what the false prophet is going to do in Revelation 13. He's going to cause everyone to build an image, to make an image of the beast. What did God call the Antichrist back in, the book of Zechariah? The idol shepherd, I-D-O-L. You know what I think of when I think of an idol shepherd? Like Joseph Prince. Who else? Some of these others. Ed Young Jr. Stephen Furtick. Rob Bell. Brian McLaren. All these others. They're sort of rock star idol type dudes on stage with their shirts untucked and their hair messed up and their unshaven face looking cool and hip and a little hot for some of the ladies. That's done on purpose, by the way. It's all about the eye candy of the guy up on the stage, and these fans adore this guy as an idol, and that makes them idol shepherds. And here's something interesting. The idol shepherd has his right eye. Let's see. Is that my right? Yeah, that's my right. Has his right eye put out. What that means is that the gospel of grace, which is on the right side of your Bible, the New Covenant, the New Testament, the gospel of grace is missing. He can't see it. He cannot fathom nor understand free grace. Cannot comprehend that. Are you talking about Furtick? And you say, yes, I'm still talking about these guys. Because what they do in their churches and in their seminars and everything else, and their boasting, is that they boast about what they perform rather than the grace of God. They boast about it. They brag about it. They say, well, look at what we're doing. One of the local emergent churches in this area, former friend of mine, put a big ad in the paper on a Sunday morning, said, stop going to church. That was one of those shock ads to get your attention. And then you go to website and it says, start being the church. And that was basically, they had a certain Sunday where nobody went to the church building. They all went out and performed stuff in the community. Oh, let's pick up trash. Oh, let's do this. And you know what that is? That was a stunt to get everybody to look at the wife rather than the husband. And God won't handle that very well. He's a very jealous God. And so it's when you block out, when his right eye has been put out, which means that they do not focus on the grace of God and the work of God. They focus on the work of humans as being necessary in order to change the world, to bring in a transformation. Anyway, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? The idol is the Antichrist. And should a church or a church entity or a church program or anything like that have anything to do with the idea of the Antichrist? Of course, the answer is no. But are they doing it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You guys are seeing sparks everywhere. I'm going to show you what I mean here in a little bit. What agreement have the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. See? Ye are. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Don't fuse yourself in with them. Don't connect with them. Somebody was asking me about what all this connection is. A pastor is always talking about, well, we're going to have connection. We're going to make connection here. We're going to connect everybody. Listen, the Bible clearly says that if they are not saved, you're not to connect with them. You're not, you know what a yoke is? It connects two oxes. Or, in the case of an unequal yoke, which means that you've got one ox and one lamb, who's going to do all the pulling here? It ain't going to be the lamb. It's going to be the ox. That's unequally yoked. God says, don't connect with lost people. You witness to lost people. You try to teach lost people. You plant seeds in lost people. You preach to lost people. You beg lost people to come to Christ, but you don't connect with them. You're unequally yoked. Most of these small group type, what they call, they don't call them Bible studies anymore because that's offensive. We want to bring seekers in, the unchurched in, but we don't want them to know that they're part of a Bible study. You know, I have a problem with trying to reach lost people without them knowing about it. Seems that's awfully subtle to do that. And you're also misleading them. You're just blatantly lying to them. What is this, a Bible study? No, it's not a Bible study. What is this, religion? No, it's not religion at all. It's not religion. It is too. You're lying through your teeth. Anyway, you're not to connect with lost people. Preach to them, love them, pray for them, witness to them, sow seed, but don't yoke with them. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the Antichrist, the unclean thing. And I will, let me put that verse back up on the screen. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I want you to remember that verse. We may, in the course of a two-hour program today, get to that. I have got a ton of stuff here today. Let me just kind of go through the list here of the amount of fun that you and I are going to have during this two-hour test broadcast. If I like it, I'd do it again Thursday, all right? So be ready for it. Michelle Obama to host Hindu festival for Goddess of Wealth at White House. Goddess of Wealth. Would that be Joyce Myers? I wonder if she is the... Let me read the story. CNS News. First Lady Michelle Obama is hosting an event on Tuesday to mark the Hindu festival of Diwali, or Festival of Lights. I bet that has something to do with sparks. To honor Lakshmi, the goddess of wealth and prosperity, Joyce Myers. In case you didn't know what that was, I'm planting subliminal messages inside your mind, Joyce Myers. See, you didn't hear it, but your subconscious heard it. Hindus celebrate by placing small earthenware oil lamps called diyas in their homes to help the goddess find her way. She's got to be blind or something like that, according to the BBC's online homeschooling curriculum website. In India, Hindus, we leave the windows and doors. I got to say it like this. In India, Hindus, we leave the windows and doors of the houses open so that Lakshmi can come in, the website states. Diwali also marks the first day of the business year, and some Hindus will say prayers to the goddess for a successful year, the website states. According to Hindu American Foundation, there are approximately 2.29 million Hindus in the United States, or 0.72% of the U.S. population, 314 million. There goes your Christian nation right there. Touch. Michelle, where's my trash can? Touch not the unclean thing. That's what we're doing. Ooh, this is interesting. I'm going to use some high-tech graphics here. This is from Farron, and he says, here's clothing line that assembles a lot of people are wearing around here in Kansas. Now, you're going to recognize the Illuminati symbol, and I want you to notice the slogan that it has. Okay, I want to hold that up to the screen. You see that? See the divine spark in the center? All-seeing eye? And the word dethrone. Think about what that means. Some of you are going, yeah, that's getting mom off the commode. Let me show you what it means. Turn to Ezekiel. Get your can of King James Bible here. No, it's not a can of worms. I'm going to open up a can of King James Bible and turn to Ezekiel. Let's see here. 28. Ezekiel 28. Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, a principality, not just an earthly ruler, as the pipe-smoking scholars at Harvard have deduced. This is a principality. Speak unto the prince of Tyrus, saith the Lord God, thus saith the Lord God, thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, capital G, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. What in the world is that talking about? Second Thessalonians, chapter 2. You'll see here in a minute. Second Thessalonians, chapter 2. Let no man deceive you, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. By the way, it is not right to refer to the Antichrist as the man of lawlessness. That's a setup. That is steering you away from the truth of who he is. Have you ever heard that before? Yeah, he's the man of lawlessness, man. You know, the man of lawlessness. That's not what this says. It says the man of sin. By the way, he's not the man of lawlessness. The book of Daniel says he will seek to change times and laws, not do away with them. Change them. The son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That throne, Revelations chapter 4, turn there. If I can get there before my Bible falls completely apart. Revelation chapter 4, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and someone was on it. That's not what the Bible says. That's what the NIV says. The NIV says someone was sitting on it. Who? Probably the same someone that appeared in a body in the NIV in 1 Timothy 3:16, where the King James says God was manifest in the flesh. The NIV just has this generic, he appeared in a body. I'm telling you, it's a setup. Let me show you this image again. Dethrone. That means the guy that's on the throne now, we got to get rid of him. We got to put him out because we got a new guy going to sit on the throne. That's what that is. And are we there yet? Oh, we're getting there. We're getting there in a hurry, people. Just unbelievable. The times that you and I are living in. And some of you probably had never heard of the divine spark until the last few weeks. And now you're seeing sparks everywhere. You're going, look at that. Look at that. You hear it in church. You're going, did he say that? Did he say spark? Yeah. I'm going to show you that in a minute. John. How you doing, Big John, from Netherlands? He said, found something on the internet. He said, Saturday, November 9th, which was 11-9, but in Europe, it's 9-11. They always give the day first and then the month. My birth date is 5-30-66, but in Europe, it's 35. So do you reverse like the 66-19? Do you do it that way too? Just, I don't know. Anyway, I know some people drive on the wrong side of the road. You get killed that way. What's wrong with you people? Anyway, Saturday, November 9, which was 9-11, a new lamp is marking the highest point on the World Trade Center in New York. The owners claim that this building is now the highest building of the West. It is now, watch this, I want you to get this. It is the most high building. And so on that exact day, they put a new light. They spark a new divine flame up on top of the most high point in America. Do you see that? I get it. It's coming. The symbols, the indoctrinations, the initiations, the rituals, they're everywhere, drawing people in to a new way of thinking, a new world order, a new paradigm, a new reformation, a rebirth. Here is somebody sent this in the mail. A picture of the World Trade Tower. By the way, you see the as above, so below. There is a triangle pointing upward, the length of the building. And then the other part of the building is a triangle pointing downward. I know that's a bad clip of that. But anyway, according to this particular, what is this, the Daily News, NewYorkDailyNews.com? The article is World Power. First look at Dignified 4 WTC marks Ground Zero's rebirth. It's all about a rebirth. Remember, the tower card from the tarot, and I talked about this in the Babel Conspiracy. The tower card basically is rebirth. Here you have this tower, and it's struck, and it explodes in flames, and people fly out of it and crash and die, and the tower destructs, and then a new one rises up from the ashes of it like a phoenix. And I remember seeing that, and I went, it's right there. So, and here they actually mention that this tower is the rebirth of Ground Zero, the center point. It's happening all around us. And then Trisha, how you doing, Trisha? Went to the movies Tuesday night, saw the preview for the new Hunger Games movie, Catching Fire. She said, guess what? It opens on November 22nd, 11/22. It's the day Kennedy was shot, by the way, which makes a 33. This stuff happens all the time now. We're getting used to the geomancy, the sacred geomancy is basically believing that in certain locations there are powers where you can, like the elementals are stronger, and that they call them ley lines and things like that. That's geomancy. Or when you align a building in a certain way or in a certain direction, that's in order to draw in from the powers. That's geomancy. Or align it with stars or whatever. That's geomancy. We're seeing that. We're seeing numerology, which is the opposite of God's order in the scriptures. Numerology says that if we align this and we do this in a certain number, in a certain way, then these entities, these powers, will perform works of magic for us. You'd be surprised at how much of that is in the church. When a guy has his fame in Christianity because he writes a non-biblical book about a guy who stood in a circle, drew a circle in the ground and stood in it until God did something for him, it's basically putting the right eye of grace out and saying that if you work and perform and do all of this stuff, then God will release something to you. That's witchcraft. It's not New Testament grace. You see, if you're saved by grace, then the things that you want God to do for you are by grace as well. They must be by grace and not works. Paul said, received ye the Spirit by the hearing, works of the law, or by the hearing of faith, which is the Word of God. How do you get the Holy Ghost? You let John Arnott or somebody come and slap you on top of the head? No. How do you get the Holy Spirit? The reading of the Word of God, the hearing of faith. Let's see here. This came in today. People was sending me this. Department of Homeland Insecurity funds the installation of white boxes that can track the population of an entire city. Are you ready for this? Get ready. Get ready. And you know what? We're all doing it. We're all walking around with our smartphones and our tablets and everything, our Google glasses. And to be honest with you, I think they're cool. I don't have a pair of Google glasses, but every time I read an article about them, I'm going, that would be cool. That would be pretty cool. Okay. And they're just now starting to realize and understand what they've got with these Google glasses. They're talking about, all the possibilities they're just endless. And that's the beginning of the new technology. Whew. Boy, we're going to become gods one of these days. But get ready, because the devil wants to be like the Most High, right? And the Most High sees everything. God sees everything and is aware of everybody, even counting the hairs on her head, which mine are diminishing. Counting the hairs on her head. God can do that. Lucifer cannot do that. He's got to have help. He's got to have a network so he can control everybody. DHS funds installation of white boxes. Strange new off-white boxes popping up in downtown Seattle. Use Wi-Fi networks that can record the last 1,000 locations of a person using their cell phone's MAC address. But the Department of Homeland Insecurity, which funded the network to the tune of $2.7 million, has refused to address the nightmare privacy implications of a system that could lead to the permanent tracking of an entire city's population. You see, humans can't do it. Humans can't do it. Humans cannot physically monitor everybody and what's going on. The computers can. The computers now can be programmed to, once they start with someone, to track them everywhere they go. And they didn't do anything wrong. Now, is it constitutional? Yeah, I would say it is. Because the police have a right to patrol, let's say the county or the rural areas or the city, cops walking the beat. Why are they out there? They're monitoring what people are doing. They're looking for, you know, cops. When cops can tell when a car passes them, I went by, I drove by. Yes, this is so funny. People's body language tells everything. I drove by yesterday on the way to work, and a Hillsboro cop had pulled over somebody. And the cop walked up to the window, and the guy, you should have seen it. The guy in the van was leaned forward across the window with his arm up on the steering wheel, and he was kind of, let me see if I can illustrate it like this. He was leaning out the window with his arm up over the steering wheel like this. You know what he was doing? He was blocking the inside of that van. His mind knew that there was something in that van that he didn't want the officer to see. So instinctively, he covers up the inside of the van with his body. He doesn't want that. He's like telling the officer, who should be trained a little bit in the body language, he's telling the officer, I'm hiding something. The officer says, are you hiding something? No, I'm not hiding anything. Mind if I look in your van? Don't you need a warrant for that? That's clue number two. It's clue number two. Is it illegal? No, I don't think it is. Maybe I'm wrong. Is it leading to a police state? You betcha. A report by The Stranger, a weekly Seattle newspaper, exposes how the boxes, which are attached to utility poles and include vertical antennae, can track cell phones even if they're not connected to the system's Wi-Fi network. Aruba, the company that provided the boxes to the Seattle Police Department, brags in its technical literature about how the boxes can keep track of rogue or unassociated devices. In other words, your cell phone, even if you have refused to let the system access your device's Wi-Fi component. The user's guide for one of Aruba's recent software products states the wireless network has a wealth of information about unassociated and associated devices. That software includes, quote, a location engine that calculates. You know what? I'm going to stop right here. I learned something new. This weekend, the Bible, I was studying traps and snares in the Bible. And the Bible uses the word gin, G-I-N, okay, a gin and a snare. And I looked up the word gin, where it came from, and it came from the word engine, E-N-G-I-N-E. It's like a shortened version of the word engine. And the word engine basically is like an invented mechanical device of some kind. And that's what a gin is. A gin is like a mechanical trap that once your foot goes into it, it clamps down on you. And it's really interesting. I was just going through that in my mind, the word engine. The software includes a location engine that has the word gin in it that calculates associated and unassociated device location every 30 seconds by default. The last 1,000 historical locations are stored for each MAC address. And in case you don't know, every phone, every tablet, every computer, every laptop, every Samsung watch, and all of that stuff has an IP address, an MAC address. It is a unique identifier that identifies your device connected to the network, either by Wi-Fi or by 4G, 3G, or whatever, and that's your device. And this device has my name, phone number, address, everything attached to it. Oh, look, there's Mike Hoggard. He was on 3rd Street. Now he's on 4th Street. Now he's going in here. Now he's going in there. So no more will the police pull you into the station and shine lights in your face and say, where were you the night of the 25th? I was at home. Not according to the database. Police state, get ready. We're going to have to, where's my trash can? We're going to have to learn how to be Christians in a world that will be contrary to Christianity. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to live the Bible way in a world that will be hostile to those who are living the Bible way? Oh, well, Dr. So-and-so said that we're going to be translated out. We're going to be raptured out of here before anything bad happens. I've been counting on that for the last 30 years since I read Hal Lindsey. Next week's Watchman broadcast will be a trial by fire. See, we're talking about the power of the flame, the divine spark. And I think something's coming. By the prickling of my thumbs, something wicked this way comes. Ray Bradbury. I think it's coming. And if you have a mindset that God is going to do a quick escape for you before anything happens, I would just, number one, study the scripture. There's your rules right there. But number two, the churches in Pakistan, India, China, Iran, Somalia, they probably have a different view than you do. They probably do. Because they have already been in tribulation. They already have been and are right now. The Wolverine. I need to see that movie. Not for entertainment purposes, but for educational purposes only. When the Superman movie comes out on DVD, The Man of Steel, I'm going to go through it again and take some notes down. I'll probably talk about that here before too long. Here is an article from CNET News. Self-heal like Wolverine. This is the Wolverine from the X-Men. Gene discovery might hold clues. In a discovery by a Harvard researcher, a reactivated gene found in embryos helps mice regrow clipped parts of their ears and toes. Mice. That's interesting. Because when the five lords of the Philistines stole the Ark of the Covenant. Remember the throne of God? And where did they take it? To Dagon, because he wanted that throne. When they stole the throne of God, and it was killing everybody in their five cities. I keep saying this number five. Five lords of the Philistines in their five cities. They decided to send it back with five emeralds and five golden mice on it. And some of the leading research in genetics is being done on mice. I don't know the connection yet, but it's interesting to me. If scientists can clone sheep, surely they can figure out a way to make our bodies heal themselves like Wolverine does. Wolverine basically is an immortal. He's a god. Can't die. Thanks to a curious accidental, which I don't believe in, discovery from Harvard Medical Research and Boston Children's Hospital, researcher George Daly, we may be closer than we previously thought. While conducting cancer research, Daly clipped holes in ears of mice that were genetically engineered with the LIN28A gene so he could quickly tell them apart from the control group. But the holes kept healing. So he clipped their toes, but they grew back. He then waxed their backs, but their fur grew back more quickly than usual. It appeared that the LIN28A, a gene that scientists think regulates the self-renewal of stem cells, gave the mice special regeneration abilities. Really? Like a rebirth. It sounds like science fiction, but LIN28 could be a part of a healing cocktail interesting word, that gives adults the superior tissue repair seen in juvenile animals, said Daly, lead author of a study that appears in the November 7th issue of Cell. I'm sure you get that magazine, read it all the time. Aside from flashbacks many of us might be having from this description, it's worth considering the scientific significance of Daly's accidental discovery. The team found they could replicate the healing abilities of the engineered mice. Engineered. So it's got the word gen in it. It's a trap. It's a trap, people. The engineered mice by giving non-genetically altered ones drugs that could help activate certain metabolic processes, the same pathway LEN28A stimulates, revving up and energizing cells as if they were much younger. Energizing. That's interesting. Findings reveal that at least part of the reason that most animals cannot regenerate lost limbs lies in their metabolism. When LEN28 turns on and expresses a protein in the body, it boosts the metabolism, apparently fooling the body into thinking that it is younger and spurring a complex cascade of chemical reactions that generate energy. The research shows how the same mechanisms that ordinarily provide cellular energy can also drive more exotic processes such as wound healing. The research may indeed be exciting, but since we won't all be turning into X-Men mutants tomorrow, we suggest taking good care of yourselves and not picking fights with Deadpool. I don't know who that is. Maybe I need to do some more research. Here we go. You're going to be a god. I'm telling you. 10, 15, where's my trash can? 10, 15, 20 years? I don't date. I don't give dates. I don't go on dates. I don't try to look at this star and this comet and this moon and say, okay, now it's all going to, this is right here is going to be the date. I don't do that. I don't think you ought to do it either, but that's not my call. I don't do it. But I'm telling you, there is a, they said they found this by accident. I don't think they're lying. I just think that there are spirits at work right now that are drawing these men's minds. Remember what Ephesians 2 says. It calls Satan the god of this world, and it calls him, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I think these evolutionary scientists, being disobedient to the word of God, I think they've got spirits that are whispering to them, hey, try this, do this. Tesla admitted it. Tesla admitted that he was in contact with entities. The Tool Society, they were in contact with extraterrestrial biological entities. They were in contact with familiar spirits. By the way, soaking prayer. I'm going to talk about that. Soaking prayer is contact with familiar spirits, and I'm going to show it to you. Get ready. Let's see here. Matthew from South Carolina. Let me take us. If I talk for 2 hours, I'm going to have to lubricate my throat and wet my whistle. Hi, Mike. It's me again. Matthew. Thought you would like to know. Let me show you something. Okay. This is the symbol for the Awanas. So I don't know what that is. I don't know if they still do it. There is one other church in this town that still uses the King James. I know their interim pastor right now. And his mother is a member of our church. And he's a good guy. Solid King James. Solid King James. So I don't know if they still do the program or not. But years ago, this church, quite a large church, they did the Awana's program on Wednesday night. And back then, I'm talking the 70s, all right? Back then, these things were pretty conservative, pretty dead on. Using the King James, a lot of independent fundamental churches were using the Awana's program for their, like a Wednesday night program for kids, okay? Here's what happened. Take your Bible, open it to Jude. I'm going to show you from the scripture what happened. See, I like wearing the Bible glasses. And I need both lenses, by the way, the Old and the New Testament. Jude, let's see here, in verse 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. You know what I believe? I believe that Gary gets saved the same way I got saved. You know what I also believe? I believe there's 12,000 from the tribe of Levi that God is going to save and seal with the exact same gospel. That's what I believe. Common salvation. It's the same salvation for everybody. There is no difference between Jew or Greek when it comes to salvation. Yeah, the Jews talk funny, but other than that, there is no difference. He said, the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That's you and I. See, Saint Michael and Saint Gary and Saint Sweetie Pie and yeah. Contend for the faith. You know what the faith is? The book. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Contend for the faith, the belief, the trust, the source of that faith, which is the word of God. Contend for it. You know why? Because if you don't, those who hate the truth will come in and take it away. That's what Jesus tried to tell us. Churches didn't listen. They're still not listening. So he said in verse 4, there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They're denying him. They crept in unaware. So here's what we started to see. Those of you who have been around long enough, Let's go back 30, 40 years or whatever, however far back you want to go. This denomination and this denomination and this ministry, they were all using the exact same Bible. They had different ways of looking at it. Some would kind of stray a little bit, but they were all using the same Bible. Certain men crept in at the top positions in the Southern Baptist, the Free Will Baptist, the General Baptist, the American Baptist, the Independent Baptist, the United Pentecostal, the Assembly of God, the Church of God Hammond, and Church of God, there's another Church of God somewhere, and every denomination and every ministry like Awana's, Campus Crusade for Christ, Jews for Jesus, Promise Keepers, you name it. Once the organization got established, certain men crept in at the top level, not the bottom, at the top levels. Why? Because that's where the printing presses are. That's where the money is. That's where the influence and the videos come from. That's where all that stuff comes from, the top down. And so they take over Zondervan and Thomas Nelson and Nav Press, and they take over all these Holman Press. They take over these and Randall House and these publishing companies, David C. Cook and everything. They come in and they start sliding their doctrine in. Their doctrines of devils. And they start introducing slowly, subtly, like a snake in the grass, creeping in. When something creeps in, it doesn't go, "Here I come." I have never heard a snake walking. Never heard it. God took his legs away. He doesn't leave little shoe prints all over the place. He's there and you never knew it. So they crept in and they started introducing things into the programs. So it didn't take long for Promise Keepers. Promise Keepers, Jews for Jesus, Campus Crusade for Christ, you name the denomination, and there are creeps at the highest levels. You name the publishing company, and there are creeps at the highest levels of these publishing groups that are distributing this stuff everywhere. And people are falling for it. Falling away for it. And it's getting worse. And those of you who know, study, believe, meditate on, search the scriptures like Bereans, you can see it. The others who won't read, study, meditate, search the scriptures, they'll never see it coming. It's a trap, people. It's a trap. So you've been seeing sparks everywhere. This is the Awanas Club, the Sparks. Here is what I was sent. Actually, two different people sent me this. It's in the church, everybody. He said, "I thought you'd like to know what Awanas has a lot in common with Freemason and the occult. My wife and I are leaving our KJV church because the preacher there has already told me that there were errors in the King James." Matt, good for you. You're not required. Somebody sent me an email. Let's see here. I have it in the queue. Here we go. Let me read this email. Over the last few months, I've watched your ministry and listened to your broadcasts, and I am loving the pure word of God, KJB teaching. I'm writing concerning my church over the last 2 years as I have been growing, and I have noticed a change. You see it? Okay. Turn my heating pad back on. I've noticed a change. You know why? Because he's looking at the scriptures. And when his church looks like the scriptures, it's fine. When he then looks at his church and then looks at the scriptures, he can see a difference. It's like, Alicia and Michaela and Jaden and Michael, they're over in Kenya right now. They're going to be gone a month. And Jaden was just walking. When he comes back, he'll be 6 feet tall. He'll be pole vaulting over everything. And I won't even recognize him. Okay? So go watch an old video of Pastor Mike Hoggard. Okay? Go watch The Occult in Christian Music. Okay? I don't know who that guy was. He don't look anything like me. But anyway, that's how it happens. He said, "I'm writing concerning my church the last 2 years. As I have been growing, I've noticed a change. I love the church and the people, and I truly respect my pastor and give him respect as a leader. I've learned a lot over the years. He was strictly KJB teaching and now uses both KJB and the Living Bible to explain scripture. He is placing pictures of himself right in front of the pulpit." "He is not approachable on matters concerning him or his teaching. He has a nurse fanning him and giving him water and cough drops in the pulpit." Ugh. "What is he like on a stretcher? What is he like, Howard Hughes? I sometimes can't even look up at him as he preaches because of it. He wants to be called general. Okay. That guy's, yeah, something wrong with that. Like the army instead of a pastor. There's times I just want to leave, but I feel obligated to be there. There's much more, but I don't want to write everything. When and how do you leave a church? And I don't see nothing biblical showing me. And do you have any teaching concerning leaders in the church? I know that you, through the grace of God, I pray this email gets to you. Well, it got to me, and I'm going to tell you something. You are not obligated to put yourself under the authority of someone who does not believe the Bible. You're not obligated to do that. I believe in the office of a bishop. I believe in the office of a pastor. And I believe that God's people should find an authority like a covering, because those men, according to Scripture, watch for your souls. That is my job over the congregation of Bethel, is to watch for their souls. And if I see someone coming in my church that's trying to subtly bring stuff in, all of a sudden they're not around anymore. And I got people asking, what happened to so-and-so? Well, let's just say that there was an incident. And I know why. Okay. Normally I just preached on it and they left. I've had that happen before. But anyway, I believe that a Christian should, if at all possible, find someone that they trust, someone that preferably someone local, preferably. But a bishop over them. The Bible says, whose faith follow. If that man does not have faith in the Word of God, do not follow him. Something's got to him. He used to could preach out of the King James. He don't know more. Something happened. Something got to him. You watch for that in me. You watch for it. Gary's going to watch for it. He's going to cut my head off. Okay? You watch for that. If I start walking outside of this old book, call me down on it. Because if the book says it, it says it. And that's it. But anyway, back to Matt. Anyway, he said, we're leaving. He said he already told me that there were errors in the King James, and I believe he wants to bring in a perversion, and all he talks about is the original languages. There's your clue right there. Ahab said, I'll give you a better vineyard than the one you've got, Naboth. You know what that pastor's doing, Matt? A better translation is a better vineyard, better piece of ground. He said, I had my daughter in the Awana Club called Sparks. So I'm taking her out of that also because they're trying to get my wife to read out of another Bible to these kids. Another thing I noticed was the color in the logos. Now, I haven't done much look into that yet, but I will. Here, let me pull the logo up again. There's the Sparks. Here is someone else writing. I think this is a post on Facebook. Divine Spark Series. Oh, wow. So much deeper and wider than we could ever imagine. I taught in Awana in our ex-church to the K-2 age group, which is called Sparks. They have their own theme song. Goes like this. We are sparks for Jesus, sparks to light the world. We will shine for Jesus as we tell each boy and girl. We will hide God's word in our hearts. We will serve him right from the start. From his love we never will part, for we are sparks, 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 sparks to light the world. How was that? You like my singing? I don't have a clue what that song sounds like. And then, whoever puts it in Facebook, then Sparky the Lightning Bug would help them navigate through the gates to earn their navigate through the gates to earn their rewards by memorizing NIV verses. Watch this. See that? My right eye has been put out, and I cannot see that God gives us grace, unmerited favor. I can only see the old covenant where if I perform and do enough, then God will do for me. See how that works? See how easy that is? And doing good works. They had, see, there it is. I didn't finish reading the sentence. There it is. They had a different theme for each year at a conference. The last one I attended was called B-E-E, a servant. I just talked about that. It had a cute little honeybee pin. Awana has four colors. There's somebody already with the four colors there. So maybe somebody can do some research into that. And then there is apparently like a praise and worship song. Could a spark of your love light a fire in me? Just a spark warm my cold heart. It's the living that breathe when I breathe in, hope I breathe in. Create some meaning again, and I breathe in peace. Will be there just a stream of love. Oh, this little light's going to shine with just a spark to light a fire, just a spark. Praise and worship song. Who are they worshiping? The spark. Could a spark of your light the whole church on fire? Sounds like an arson plan. When we care for our neighbor more than we care for style, when we breathe in, hope we breathe in, create some meaning, God. When we breathe out, peace will breathe out, just to breathe out love. This little light's going to shine with just a spark, light a fire, just a spark. Just a spark could change the heart. Just a spark could change my heart. It's just a spark. It's just a start. Light a fire in my heart, 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 a fire in my heart with just a spark. It's there. Where's my trash can? Let me show you what else you guys have been seeing out there in Watchman Land. This was Walmart, the pharmacy. Get it? I put the spark in healthcare. By the way, there's several ideas here. One of which, of course, is the spark logo with the three here, sons of God, daughters of men. But also, now remember Jude said they turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. Notice that the spark is in this cup. You know what that is? It's the chalice, the Holy Grail. You know what this is? It's the, what do they call it? The pestle? Notice that this is inserted in this. I'm not trying to be vulgar. I'm just telling you that most occult symbols have this same concept. Sons of God, daughters of men. I put the spark in healthcare. You know what that's all about? Let's become gods. Most healthcare programs, including Obamacare, which is so full of corruption, it's not already the Obamacare program is loaded with corruption. It's unbelievable. But that's the idea. I put the spark in healthcare. It is all about the divine spark turning into a flame of divinity that will turn humans into gods. And it all starts with the sons of God joining the daughters of men. Here's another one. Spark inside. You see the logo here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Sons of God, daughters of men. Spark inside. Here's another one. Spark College Consulting. You see this? See the flame? See, this logo here is opposite and joined in with this one here, and you have something in the center point. This is Symbolism 101. Here's this one. You see the same thing here. Catch the spark with religious Unitarians. Yeah, I should have figured that. See this symbol here? It's called the mandorla. Mandorla is Italian for almond, so it has an almond shape. And basically, it is a Oh, well, you have the fusion of two circles here. And this is a, it represents the female. Okay? Just leave it at that. Here we go. Transition spark coaching. Create the career of your dreams. See the flame? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And the flame is 6. It's transition. We're going to transform everybody. We're going to change everything. Spark her. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And this would be 7. That's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 heads of the beast. Spark her. Empower women to change the world. Mystery Babylon the Great. That's another subliminal. Empower women to change the world. Mystery Babylon. Thought spark. Get it? I'm going to spark an idea in your mind. Give you a thought spark. Spark igniting global change. Man, it's everywhere. We're going to segue from that into soaking prayer. Now, I can tell you, I already am running out of time, believe it or not. By the way, it's 8 minutes after 1. For those of you who have just joined us, you're an hour late. I tweeted this several times. Go to Twitter and follow hashtag King James Code. And you'll get all my, you can have your Twitter feeds texted right to your cell phone as a text message. You can do that. It's really easy to set up. So if you get text messaging on your phone, every time I tweet something, every time we post something on Sermon Audio, every time we start the broadcast, it sends out a Twitter feed. So you can get notified of everything that we do and all the little things that we do and so on. And this is a test broadcast to see if I can last for 2 hours straight. Okay. And if we do, then we will, we'll make this sort of a regular thing. And the new time for the Pastor Mike Online live broadcast will be 12 noon Central Time, 1 hour earlier, because I have to go home and Sweetie Pie has supper for me. Okay. So, and she made the most amazing pork chop dish that I had ever had. It was phenomenal. Man. Anyway, soaking prayer. I got to have a swig. And what I was going to say a while ago, I did a Bible study yesterday. And I had never really paid attention to this before, and I was studying 1 Peter again. Go back and study books and passages that you've already, I've already read that. Go read it again. It's like what I do with movies. If something catches my interest in a movie, I make a note. And if I can, I'll go back and watch it again because I'm going to see stuff in there that I've never seen before. It's there. The programming, the idea, that the mental images, they're all there. The subtlety is there. And so I did a study yesterday, and it's one of those things where I come in, sit down, God, what do you want me to read? And I start reading this, and boom, there's this this word that jumps out at me. I'll tell you what it is now, but I don't know that I'll be able to get to it today. I'd like to get to some emails today. So, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." How many of you know that one? There is a war. Listen, your soul is going to be constantly at war with your flesh. And if it's not, then you're going to go burn in hell for all of eternity. If you don't fight the flesh, And I didn't say, now, once you're saved, you never sin again. I didn't say that. Because sometimes you lose a few battles, but ultimately you want to win the war. And I'm not, I don't want to get into that. I'm not advocating just go sin, whatever, and God will tell. I'm not doing that. I'm telling you that your soul is at war with your flesh. That's your enemy right there. And fleshly lusts war against the soul. It's trying to conquer your soul. Thorns are trying to choke out the word. And then he said, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in, and I want you to underline this in your Bible, and I want you to study it, the day of visitation. And I have read 1 Peter, I don't know how many times. And that's really the first time that I really paid attention to what the Bible refers to as the day of visitation. And what I did was, I just, let me just show you what to do here, okay? Go to PureBibleSearch.com, and you go over here, you hit the little broom, the besom, you're going to sweep it, and you type in V-I-S-I-T, and then Shift 8, which is the asterisk, and you get all the occurrences of the word visit. Visit, visiting, visitor, visitation, or whatever. And then you go up here, and you click, double-click on each verse in this little deal here, and it'll take you to that passage. The Lord visited Sarah. Now, I'm telling you, these have prophetic significance. Look at, I know there's 84 of them. Look at every one of them. Why not? You say, well, you know, Survivor was on, and I just ran out of time to study them all. Really? So that was, and I did a lengthy study on this, and I was amazed. I was floored at what I was seeing. I like it. But the day of visitation is coming. God's going to visit. And if you'll study that word and all the variances of visit, you'll see what he's going to do. You'll get the whole counsel of God. Not just some little piece of it, like some people want you to, oh, no, you just need that little piece there. You'll get the whole counsel of God on what God is going to do when he visits. It's like God had travel plans, and he has his itinerary all listed out in the Bible. And if you want to know what God is going to do when he gets here, he wrote it down. So there's no mystery. So I was going to get to that today, and I can already tell you we don't have time. Let's deal with soaking for a while. Okay? It started out with, hi, Pastor Mike, soaking prayer, CBN, Toronto Blessing. Could soaking prayer be like contemplative prayer? They're setting up an international website that people from around the world can join in. CBN, which is Christian Broadcasting Network, they're the ones who tell people they can be cured by touching the television. That's pretty funny. Toronto Blessing is where a lot of the word faith come out of, like Kenneth Copeland, Rodney Howard, the drunk, and other false preachers come out of. See what you think. And I went to several. There is a couple of articles that I'm going to pull from here. One of them, and I appreciate Dave. Can't find my trash can. Appreciate Dave sending that and asking the question. And Dave, you're right. It has everything to do with contemplative prayer and familiar spirits. I mean, you know, if you just want to write rule number one down for anything that's you question, rule number one, if it's being done in the charismatic church, it's probably wrong and from hell. That's rule number one. Okay? Now, there might be an exclusion to that, like, you know, walking through the front door, okay, or opening a King James Bible. But other than that, and little exclusions here and there, if you see it on CBN, if you see it on TBN, if you see it from the Toronto Airport Fellowship Church, it is probably a seducing spirit and a doctrine of devil. That's probably what it is. Lighthouse Trails Research had a blog on this recently, November the 8th. And it mentioned soaking prayer. Because soaking prayer is becoming increasingly popular and because we believe the effects of it are potentially dangerous, it's Kundalini. We are posting this warning by Ray Youngin, who writes for Lighthouse Trails Research. Anyway, Ray Youngin wrote this article about soaking prayer. Let me show you the picture here. Here is everybody getting soaked. Okay, they're getting soaked, all right. And Youngin writes that he suggests examining the writings of one Philip Saint Romain, who wrote a book about his journey. I'm kind of quoting from this article. I'm going to read you a little excerpt from it here and there about his journey into contemplative prayer called Kundalini Energy and Christian Spirituality. You see how he connected it? You see, he's like open wide to it. He's a Catholic mystic. And he says, of course it's Kundalini. Duh. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with the fact that I've got a snake in my bum and I want that snake to touch my pineal gland? What's wrong with that? Come on. You people, it's just so weird. This title's revealing because Kundalini is a Hindu term for the mystical power or force that underlies Hindu spirituality. Saint Romain, which is this guy's last name, Philip Saint Romain, a substance abuse counselor and devout Catholic lay minister, began his journey while practicing contemplative prayer or resting in the still point. You know what that is? It's the center point. It's the divine center. It is the point within the circle. It's the spark. So he goes to the spark place. What happened to him following this practice could bear the utmost scrutiny from the evangelical community, especially from its leadership. Having rejected mental prayer as unproductive. Stop right here. Mental prayer. You know what that is? God, I really need some help today. God, as I study your word, I want you to open my eyes that I see great and wondrous things from your law. God, I need help conquering and crucifying my flesh. My flesh is already fighting my soul today. And God, would you bless my wife? God, would you bless my children? God, would you bless our church and our... That's mental prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. That's mental... See, you know why I said that? You know why I said Jesus' name? And I'm going to show you this. You have no right. You have no right to approach God without a mediator. You have no right. Israel, when they met God in person on Mount Sinai, begged God to stop talking, only talk to Moses, and Moses would come and deliver the message from God to them. They said, we need a mediator. And so do you and I. That's very, very important. Because contemplative prayer, soaking prayer, yoga, transcendental meditation, whispering prayer, the Jesus prayer, which is what Beth Moore does. Beth Moore, she's a witch. Oh, Pastor Mike, I've heard her. She's nothing wrong with her. She's got a new Bible study called The One and Only. You know where that comes from? You know where that phrase, the one and only, comes from? John 3:16 from the NIV. It's not what the Bible says. It's his only begotten son, not his one and only son. See, if it's his one and only son, then you and I are going to hell forever. Anyway, she's a witch. How do you say that? Because she is in rebellion. She usurps the authority of men. She is not allowed to teach and usurp the authority of a bishop or a man in the church. And where does she speak at? Well, you know, last week she was down at First Baptist Church. See how simple the Bible is? Now listen to this. Having rejected mental prayer as unproductive, you know what he did? He rejected biblical prayer. Prayer is asking. Prayer is supplications. The Bible links them together. Supplications and prayer, prayers and supplications. Praying. That means asking God, beseeching God, asking God, God, I need help. God, I need supplies. God, my son needs to be delivered. My daughter needs this. My wife, my children, my country needs this. That's what Daniel did. Daniel didn't go into a trance ever, except for when he heard like the dream of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4. He just kind of like went out of it for like a half hour or something like that. It was so overwhelming to him. Having rejected mental prayer as unproductive, he embraced the prayer form that switches off the mind. You know what that's called? Sobriety. Now, let's go to our King James here. And let's do a sweep here, and let's type in the word sober. So you'll see it. Okay? Let's see here. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Contemplative prayer is a form of hypnosis. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith. A bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober. Let's see here. The aged men are supposed to be sober, that he may teach the young women, that the older women to be sober. They're to teach the young women to be sober. Likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. That means have your wits about you. Don't turn your mind off. Wherefore, look at this one. I'll click on it. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. The Bible just defined what that means. It gird up the loins of your mind. By the way, what are our loins girded with? Truth. What is truth? The Word of God. So when we meditate, we are to think on these things. We're to actively go through the mental thought processes of our mind. That is biblical meditation. The Bible warns you about turning your brain off. It's called being drunk. That's what happens. Let me show you why we're supposed to be sober. 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Here it is. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in what? In the faith. You know what that means? In the Bible. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So watch this now. God tells you to be sober. God tells you to have your mind full of thoughts and scripture verses. And when you pray, use thoughts. Think the prayer. Say the prayers. I don't believe that you always have to pray out loud. I think you just, God, I need help. Normally when I pray, when I come in like in here and I'm by myself and I'm praying, I pray right here. But he says, turn the switches off of the mind, creating what he described as mental passivity. Let me explain what that is. There are two opposing ideas, activity and passivity. The male or the man is described as the active, the woman as the passive. You see, I'm not going to say any more than that, but that's where that comes from. In the Garden of Eden, the devil would not go to the active one. He would not go to Adam. Adam was the thinker. Adam had the law of God delivered to him, and he had it in his mind. Eve had it corrupted. She corrupted it, or something happened because she misquoted God. So the devil went to her, not Adam. Here's what he says. Here's what Saint Romain says. Then came the lights. The gold swirls that I had noted on occasion began to intensify, forming themselves into patterns that both intrigued and captivated me. You know, see the word captive is there. There were always four or five of these. As soon as one would fade, another would appear, even brighter and more intense. They came through complete passivity. And only after I had been in the silence for a while. Let me show you a verse about God being silent. Let me show you a verse in the King James Bible about God being silent. Let's see here. Psalm 28:1. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock, and be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent unto me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Are you kidding me? You know how familiar spirits talk? Whispers. It was only after he had been in the pit of silence, in complete passivity. You know what that means? He had turned his entire mind and body over to let these lights do with him whatever they wanted to do. And they did. After this, Saint Romain began to sense wise sayings coming into his mind and felt he was, quote, receiving messages from another. He also had physical developments occurred during his periods. In the silence, he would feel prickly sensations on the top of his head, and at times it would fizzle with energy. He then proclaimed, no longer is there any sense of alienation, for that ground that flows throughout my being, and he capitalizes the G in ground. My being is identical with the reality, again, capitalized R, of all creation. It seems that the mystics of all the world's religions know something of this. You know what the word mystics is? Mystery Babylon. He goes on to say the significance of this work perhaps lies in its potential to contribute to the dialogue between Christianity and Eastern forms of mysticism. I cannot make any decisions for myself without the approbation of the inner advisor, whose voice speaks so clearly in times of need. There is a distinct sense of an inner eye of some kind seeing with my two sense eyes. He's got a third eye open. He says, could it be that those who make the journey to the true self are in some ways demonstrating what lies in store for the entire human race? Such a world cannot come, however, unless hundreds of thousands of people experience the regression of ego in the service of transcendence, which is meditation. He says it can't happen unless we get a lot of people on our side. That's not God. Not God. Not him. There is, let me read one more quote. The classical experience of enlightenment described by Buddhist monks, Hindu gurus, Christian mystics, Aboriginal shamans, Sufi sheikhs, and Hebrew Kabbalists is characterized by two universal elements. Number one, radiant light. And number two, an experience of oneness with creation. Free Will Baptist Magazine. Now, they used to be Contact Magazine, being in contact with the Free Will Baptist. It's called The One Magazine now. Let's everybody get into this oneness. It's a setup. And then Christianity Today, or Christianity Magazine. In the July 2005 issue, has an article on soaking prayer, and they highlight here the Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship as being one of the sparks of this soaking prayer. The article says, soaking prayer is a modern form of contemplative prayer described by Joyce Huggett in this magazine a few months ago. The heart of the prayer ministry taught by John Wimber was to expect, invite, look for, and welcome the Holy Spirit to come to individuals. See, they got it wrong. The Holy Spirit comes when the Bible is opened up. It is the inspiration of the Bible. Received ye, Paul said, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by soaking prayer? No. Flipping you on the head? No. The hearing of faith, the Word of God. John taught that there are signs that the Holy Spirit is on a person. Some of these phenomena are obvious. Weeping, cries, exuberant and prolonged expressions of praise, shaking, trembling, calmness, bodily writhing and distortions, falling over, sometimes referred to as being slain in the spirit. I've talked about that. You let someone murder your spirit. That is what that means. Laughter and jumping. Other phenomena, show me that in the Bible. Other phenomena are more subtle. Slight trembling, fluttering of the eyelids, faint perspiring, a sheen. Now, if I wipe sweat off me while I'm preaching, that don't mean I got kundalini. Ripples on the skin, deep breathing. Wimber also said that people sometimes experience a sense of heaviness or tiredness, weeping or drunkenness. See it? Soaking prayer is drunkenness. And there is a judgment coming. In fact, I think that this whole contemplative soaking prayer is a judgment of God. It is turning people who are seeking experiences and sensual satisfaction over the static Word of God. So they become completely passive. You've seen them in the worship services, haven't you? They become passive now in the worship services. Oh God, come to me, I'm yours. Set up. I'm telling you, it's a setup. Wimber goes on to talk about falling over in the spirit. Most people are aware of a sense of calm and sublime indifference to hours in which case profound spiritual change has been said to follow. The most dramatic falls are those sustained by pastors and ministers. Pastors and preachers and ministers and evangelists from all over the world went to first Toronto and then Pensacola, Florida for the Pensacola outpouring down there. They go down there, they get the Shakti pot, they get hit, they get that stuff on them, and then they go take that to their churches. It's like a virus. You go down there to get infected with the virus, and then when you come back, you're going to infect your entire church with it. And that's what's happened. The changes following this experience may also be profound. Their ministry is infused with new power and effectiveness. You know what that's setting you up for? It's telling you that you are ineffective right now. No wonder you're still having problems. No wonder you're still whatever it is you're doing that you hate. No wonder those. Now, if you just come down and let us give you this virus called soaking prayer, then all that's going to go away. And it's a trap. It's a setup. It is to lure you into a gin and a snare. Study that out in your King James. Anyway, as people at the Toronto airport reflected on what was happening, it became clear that the Holy Spirit was not knocking people over because he likes playing Skittles, but because he wants people to lie down in an attitude of rest and stillness so that he can bless and renew them inside. Show me that in the Bible. So watch this. The idle shepherd has got his eye covered. He cannot see that what God gives us, he gives us by grace alone through faith. They're telling people that if they perform this, if they will get still, if they will lie down, if they will empty their mind, if they will do these things, and it may take a little while for you to get it right because, you know, it's takes a lot of practice to really go stupid. It takes a lot of work on it. It's works-based reciprocity from God. If you perform, then God will do this. The right eye has been blinded. The gospel of grace through faith of the New Testament without works is gone. Let's see here. Here's what one person said. I know, Lord, you could have done that in an instant. Lord, why did it take 3 hours? Carol asked. This is Carol Arnott, John Arnott's wife. She thought Jesus, now, here's what she asked God a question. I know, Lord, you could have done that in an instant. Lord, why did it take 3 hours? Carol asked. She thought Jesus replied, Carol, it wasn't the empowering. It wasn't the feeling I was after. This is Jesus now talking to this woman. I just wanted you to spend time with me. I was lonely for you, Carol. That's lasciviousness, is what that is. They have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. Carol explains, He wants just our presence, not our prayer lists. King James Bible says supplications. You know what supplications is? It's a prayer list! It's what they call soaking in His presence. Soaking prayer centers in their own churches and homes, make the room comfortable and inviting, provide a variety of places for people to sit or lie down, play a CD of quiet worship music. That's why the music had to change in the church. The music that was being done in the church from the old hymn books, the hymns and the spiritual songs were static. They were full of words. They were full of doctrine. They were full of scripture. And those songs had to go. Now we bring in the new shortened songs where there's only one lyric and it's played over and over and over. And over. Why? Because any hypnotist will tell you that it's the repetition that brings the hypnosis. Encourage yourself and others to focus on Jesus. Say, Come, Holy Spirit. What if I don't say that? What if I don't say that? Will I get the Holy Spirit? Then, as Carol Arnott teaches, wait in a receiving mode, not praying, not speaking in tongues, not helping in any way, just relaxing and waiting and receiving from Him. Lasciviousness. It is this expectation of receiving which is the main difference between soaking prayer and classic contemplative prayer, in which union with God is the aim. Now I'm gonna. How much more of this? I don't know if I want to get to some emails here in a little bit. But listen, this is set up. All of this is about quote unquote union with God. Sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, sounds well, yeah. It's what we want, isn't it? We want to unite, want to connect. That's what the word yoga means. The word yoga means connect with the divine. And yoga is the same practice as contemplative prayer and soaking prayer. What is the problem then with connecting with the divine, union with God? What is the problem? I'm going to type in a word here, and I want to show it to you. The word enmity. The word enmity means, like in Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So enmity means like a conflict, or you're not at peace with God. There's a war going on. Romans 8:7 basically dispels the whole idea of contemplative prayer when it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Then here in Ephesians 2:15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Do you know what this stuff is? It is an attempt to get the person to sidestep the cross in going directly to God. I'm telling you, it's a setup. Do you know why? If you try to bypass the mediator and the cross of Christ, of Jesus Christ, to go directly to God, if you make it to God, he will kill you dead. Why? Because God is holy and you cannot behold him or his face. You'll die. It takes a mediator. God is angry with the wicked. That's you. And if it wasn't for Christ taking the enmity between God and us on himself, taking it to the cross, you and I are doomed forever. So actually, And I want you to mark this down. Do your own study so you'll know how to answer the question. If you're part of a church and they're doing contemplative prayer or soaking prayer, that church is cursed because it's a false gospel. It is the idea that if I perform, I can bypass the cross and meet directly with God and unite with God without Christ. That is an abomination. It is a cursed false gospel. That's what it is. Oh, but I heard God in here. No, you didn't. You heard a lying spirit. Just like this guy, this Saint Romaine or whoever he was. Just that he said, I hear the voices now all the time. I don't make a decision unless this voice tells me to do it. Sounds like the son of Sam. That, my friends, is soaking prayer. Don't fall for it, literally. Don't fall for it, people. You know what happens when you get the Holy Ghost in you? You stand. The Holy Ghost gives you the ability to stand. Whereas these devils, once they get a hold of you, they cause nothing but a fall. I'm telling you, it's a deadly trap. I'm telling you, at that stuff, moving in, taking over, it's everywhere. Oh, can I read some emails here? Let's see here. All right, I already did that one. Told the guys thing about leaving his church. Let's see here. That one is way long. If you send emails to Pastor Mike online, make them about that short. All right. Cause there's no way I can answer all these. All right. Oh, here's something. Let's see if pull this up here. Oh, I'm going to show you that. Donna, the lady that's writing the software, the Spark Church, join us. Connect with them so the sparks can be bigger. Monica, how you doing? The Dethrone t-shirt had a 33 in it, too. The E's are upside. Oh, I didn't. Where is it? I'll have to find that. Wow. Missed that one. Appreciate that, Monica. Debbie says, hi, Pastor. I'm new to your show. It's awesome. Hey, I have two questions. You might be able to help me with. Number one, is there any difference between demons and fallen angels? The answer is no. Devils is what the King James calls them. And devils are evil angels. They are gods. They are devils. They are alongside of the devil It is in Debbie. If you've ever heard that demons or devils are the disembodied spirits of the giants, that's a lie. It's not true. That's the false doctrine that's taught in that Book of Enoch thing. I got a guy. He's sending me like 4 emails a day chastising me because I won't accept the Book of Enoch. Not going to. Number 2, are there Nephilim still roaming the earth today? You'll not find the word Nephilim, Debbie, in the scriptures. You'll find the word giants. Okay? It is possible, biblically, that there are some who still might have some of that DNA in them. That's what I'll say. That's a possibility. All right? And I'll leave it at that. Thanks for writing in. Let's see here. Mark says, Fox News has a program tonight called The Life Code. You can pay $100 to find out what will happen to you through your DNA and be able to alter it. Interesting. Adam says, hey, Pastor Mike, I go to a church that only uses the King James, but my church has let a few women preachers preach in my church. Is that bad or not? Read 1 Corinthians 14. Adam, read 1 Corinthians 14, and he'll answer the question. Let the women keep silence in the church. For it is not permitted for them to speak. That's how simple things are. But you know what? If you approach somebody like the leadership in your church, they'll say, well, that was for them. That's not for us. You see what happens, people? You see what happens when you start taking cherry-picking stuff out of the Bible and saying, that's not for us. Nothing to do. If that was for them back then and God wanted their women to sit down and shut up. But our women now in this day are different. It's not for us, so our women can boss us around and tell us what to do in the church. So, Adam, I'm telling you it's wrong. I would not sit in a church service with a woman behind that pulpit teaching. Wouldn't do it. AJ, how you doing up there, buddy? Yes, I have seen this. See that logo there? That's one of the big healthcare systems around here. It's the infinity symbol and the triple helix logo is what it is. Mucho apreciado, AJ. Bill, my question, Pastor Mike, is why does Satan choose to use all the secret codes and symbols? What purpose does it serve? He's already got most of the world on his side, so why go through all the Mason and Illuminati symbol blank? Number one, because the devil has a beast nature, Bill. He has a beast nature. He cannot do anything but be subtle. He cannot do anything but be subtle. It's just like Mystery Babylon. Her whole design is to conceal and to hide, not to reveal. And so the devil cannot do anything but conceal and hide and not speak plainly. And God ordains it to be that way because that's how you can always tell the difference between what God says and what the devil says. If it's plain, God said it. If it's not plain, it's like trying to understand, who is here? Marilyn Manson lyrics. It's like trying to understand rap music lyrics. Who else am I trying to think of? Anyway, it's like trying to understand lyrics from a song from a guy written on LSD. It's meant to be encoded. It's meant to be in secret. Brent, how you doing, buddy? What's up, my brother? Haven't talked to you in a while. Hope is all great your way. I love you and enjoy calling you my pastor. Well, I love you too, man. Brent is the guy that thought I was a racist. And now he doesn't think that anymore. And I'm glad. Listen, Brent, I'm telling you, you come down here to Festus, dinner's on me, all right? Now, that doesn't go for the rest of you people. Just that one guy. I can't pay for everybody. All right. Anyway, let's see here. Josh says, "Hey, Pastor Mike, love listening, watching, following along in my brand new KJV I bought." Amen. Not new King James, but it's the KJV that replaced my NIV I never read anyway. Now I can't get enough of milk and honey. That's what's in the can. It's milk and honey. Okay. And you can, have you ever had milk and mustard? Have you ever had that? Gary, have you ever had milk and mustard?
Nope.
Oh!
Nope.
I took 4 Benadryl one night, thinking I was taking ibuprofen. And it was Saturday night. I don't know what this is going to do. Okay. So we called the poison center and they said, you know, you need, if you want, it'll just make you sleepy, but you need to puke it out. So my wife mixed up milk and mustard, and I thought that the flavor of that was what did it. So I had this whole glass of milk and mustard, and I just downed it, okay? And I went, ah, it was terrible. But that didn't make me start puking. And so I kind of sat down, and 3 minutes I went, oh, no! And I went and ran, and wah! There it was. Thank God the Bible's milk and honey and not milk and mustard. Anyway, I love watching, and I saw Eminem had a new song called Rap God. So I listened to it and couldn't believe the stuff I heard. One verse talks about a portal. There you go. That's Revelation 9. And stuck in the past, which is 9 years ago. Another talks about having a blueprint to immortality. Architects use blueprints. Which his buddy Jay-Z has an album called Blueprint. He talks about going into church and catching on fire. Yeah. And Satan driving his car, because God's the co-pilot, right? And then he said things about harlot women and asked what he should do. Bake cakes for them? That comes right out of the Bible. That one was like, wow, the Queen of Heaven. And to top it all off, the song is 6 minutes long, and he repeats that over and over and over in the beginning. And oh, and when I went home that night, Eminem's child house he grew up in caught on fire, and they don't know why, probably a divine spark. And one more thing, Job 18 is the 6 + 6 + 6 book of the Bible. Anyway, just thinking about counting, and you think all the Michael Jordan magics, Johnsons, Michael Jacksons, and the M being 13 and J being 10. That's interesting. And even Jordan's jersey is 23. You know what? Josh, I like you. Thanks for sharing that. Jen. Jen writes me, G-I-N, says, great. My name is Jen, and my husband is a mechanic. We love you, Pastor Mike. Prayers are with you. I appreciate that. Mike. Pastor Mike, I've been seeing military commercials that have five-pointed stars and all-seeing eye and pyramid patches on our soldiers. Have you noticed this stuff on our soldiers' uniforms, and what do you think about that? I haven't gotten into that part yet of the Fourth Kingdom teaching. Probably the year 2016, when I finally get to Rulers of the Darkness of This World, I will do some study on that as I approach that. All right. I'm not really ready to talk about it yet, but I will. So thanks for bringing that up. Pastor Mike, this is from John. I was reading an article about mega atheist churches. Oh yeah. Those things are like popping up at mega atheist churches. There's a guy being interviewed for an article. Here's one paragraph that caught my attention. Sunday Assembly, whose motto is live better. Remember that from last week? The Walmart logo and the Masons logo. Wonder more. How help often. Let's see here. Live better. Wonder more. Help often. Taps into that universe of people who left their faith but now miss the community that church provided. Appreciate that, John. Joseph says, Mike, you really need to look into psychotronics. Why do I need that? Do I need that? Do I sound like I need psychotronics? I don't know what that is. If it's right into things, you're... Oh! Research! I thought maybe you thought I was and needed some sort of psychotronic thing. Joseph, how about you doing some homework on it and sending me some stuff, all right? Thank you very much. Let's see here. Brian says, please explain Luke 21:36, which says, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. With love, Brian. Here's my best explanation of that. Number one, watch ye therefore means that you and I should be looking and watching everywhere as much as possible. Watch. Having our eyes open, being children of the day, as the Bible says, having the light shining on us. Number two, pray always. I absolutely believe that a Christian's life should be a life filled with prayer. And I'm not talking about that, like monks and nuns, that's a bunch of garbage. I'm talking about throughout your day, your first inclination is to pray about something, okay? And I every now and then I think it's good to just kind of check yourself and examine yourself and ask yourself, Mike, when stuff hits, what's the first thing you do? And I'm not perfect, not in any way. But every now and then I'll remember that, you know, when this happened or that happened, my first thing was to go pray. Even if, you know, standing with people, boy, God help. God, please help. I think you ought to pray a lot more than you do, okay? That you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that should come to pass. Actually, Brian, there is no way that I could explain that better than what it's written. And I'm being dead serious about that. I would not even attempt to explain it. Joseph, Deadpool is a Marvel bad guy. Ah! Okay, appreciate that. Same person. No, someone else telling me Deadpool, who Deadpool is. Let's see here. Hi, Pastor Mike. God bless you. And wow, you lost a lot of weight. Yeah. When you say don't yoke with him, how do I do that? There are little to no people who believe, let alone are Bible-believing Christians. I do not connect with unbelievers, but can I be friends with them? Yeah. I mean, yeah. Jesus was a friend to sinners. Being a neighbor in the biblical sense, love your neighbor as yourself, absolutely. Or what is it you mean by with connecting? Please elaborate on that a bit. Well, Pastor, the world is already hostile here at least. Get a lot of resistance when I just say that I believe, when I mention that I just believe the KJV, jaws drop. None of my family believe and none of my friends but one now because I witnessed to him and he came to the Lord. Bless Jesus Christ. I can talk to him about our Lord and Savior. Other than that, I get a lot of tribulation. Wow. Apparently 2 hours is not long enough. But it's enough for today. All right. I had fun. I had a good time. I enjoy doing this. I like to talk about what's going on, and I like to talk about scriptures, and I like to talk about what's right and what's wrong, and I'm glad that you enjoy being here with me, and it is mucho apreciado, and God bless you all for long-suffering with me. All right? I tell you what I'm going to do. Get ready. On Thor's Day, I will start at 12 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we'll go for another two-hour broadcast. All right? I'm kind of digging it. So anyway, I didn't get through all the emails. So anyway, because you know what I do? I overplan for a speaking. Okay? I don't just say, well, you know, I can talk about this. I say I can talk about this, 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 and this, and this, and this. So that way I don't run out of stuff. I'm not sitting here going, okay, Gary, you got anything you want to talk about? Anything on your mind? So anyway, it's fun being here with you today. Stay away from sparks.